This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Let's go! 1-on-3! 1-2-3!
You're listening to the best of the Dolphins.
Love y'all, boys, man. Keep fans on 2. 1-2.
A weekly mix of AM 560 Sports, WQAM's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Four o'clock hour here on Hockman, Crowder, and Solana on a very busy day, notoriously very busy day in the world of sports. Get a lot of head coaches who get fired. Not the Dolphins head coach, though. Not Mike McDaniel. He is not part of that list. There's a lot of Dolphins fans, including friends of mine, who are very angry every time I tweet them news of another head coach being fired. I have a lot of friends who are going, you see, there's organizations who are determining quickly, hey, this guy isn't the guy, and this isn't the quickest. Like, this is four seasons in. Again, I'm not against bringing him back. I'd probably, if you gave me the decision, I would probably not retain him. So if it really was my decision, I probably would move on. But I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to try again with him with a different quarterback. But there are a lot of Dolphins fans who are just beside themselves going, man, you're seeing teams move on from coaches, like some of them after one seat, Pete Carroll, you know, where they're just going, yeah, this guy ain't the guy to do it, and we need to reset and recalibrate. But it ain't. I don't think it's happening with the Dolphins.
No, I'm going to get on you because I just totally disagree with the thought of bringing him back. But what makes you say that? What makes you think this could be the guy? Because honestly, I brought it up. You could blame it on Tua because, you know, like, your quarterback can't play anymore. How are you going to be successful? I understand that. What about everything else? The identity, the goofy stuff, the team locker room, the guys giving up on him, coming late to meetings. Like, other than just the record, which he hasn't won a playoff game, we know that, but the Dolphins haven't in 25 years. It's not all on him, Hawk. What makes you say, oh, yeah, it's fine for him to run my football program?
Well, I think what I would say to you is, and again, I would lean towards not bringing him back if it was my decision. But here's what I would submit to you. If there's nobody out there that you think is markedly better, then what's the point? You know, it's not like it was this it was pacing to be a disastrous season, and it wasn't. And they beat Tampa, you know, week 17. So I just kind of think, unless there's someone staring you in the face where you say, that's the guy. I've been waiting for John Harbaugh or one of the Harbaugh brothers forever, and he becomes available. Or Mike Tomlin, and obviously he's not moving on. They're going to the playoffs. But, you know, if somebody came available and you go, that guy right now makes us markedly better. And I think probably some people might feel that way about Kevin Stefanski. Like, there are people who probably would say, hey, Kevin Stefanski, he's better right now than Mike McDaniel. To me, if you're just going to take a shot on someone who's unproven or someone who's flamed out before, I'm not necessarily certain that you just have the urgency to make a move just for the sake of making a move. That's kind of where I fall on that.
The thought of if everybody in the room throws their problems in a bucket, you'll probably just take your own problems back out of that bucket.
Exactly.
Where we don't know. And Liam Cohen, the Jags, we talked about it last week. The Jags, that's the guy. I've never heard of Liam Cohen before in my life until this season with the Duval. Now he has them a top three seed in the playoffs. So to your point, no one knew Liam Cohen was going to be what he is for Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence. But can you find that next Liam Cohen? It is harder to find him than it is to get you all the guys you're naming, all the Raheem Morris, all the six coaches that got fired. Those are more that is more of a hit on the league than finding a Liam Cohen or finding a Sean McVay or finding one of those guys. But Hawk, if you don't try, will you ever hit the target? Because we're not even shooting our gun.
I get it, but you have tried so many times and failed so many times that I think you need to do something that's more certain than just trying.
Yeah, but you if you're the Dolphins owner, to say no more status quo, and this year not only was it was worse than status quo, like it was worse. You know, I think you have to be able to analyze that situation and find several common denominators. One was Tua, one was Greer. He made those decisions, clearly. Mike McDaniel's the other. I'm with you, though, Hawk, from the standpoint of, hey, there's no better hires out there, then why, you know, fire him now? Only if it doesn't get in the way of a general manager hire, a potential one, which is what I was asking Cuno. You know, because if fine, you decide, hey, we're keeping Mike McDaniel because we don't necessarily think there's any better coaches out there. We fired him this coaching cycle. Okay, but is that getting in the way of you landing the top choice you have for general manager because he doesn't want to coach Mike McDaniel? Then to me, that ends up being the grave mistake.
By the way, the Mike McDaniel season-ending press conference started about 5 minutes ago. So Mike McDaniel is meeting with the South Florida media right now. A couple quotes David Fioronis has tweeted out. My understanding is that I'm the coach of the Miami Dolphins until I'm told otherwise, Mike McDaniel said. Mike McDaniel said he will be involved in the GM interview process for the team. And goodness. Mike McDaniel says there will be competition for starting quarterback in 2026. So he's not handing the job to Quinn Ewers. He is not handing it back to Tua Tagovailoa. And it seems, again, for all intents and purposes, Mike McDaniel, I think, will remain the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. There's one caveat, which is if John Harbaugh unexpectedly leaves Baltimore or Mike Tomlin, you know, again, They have McDaniel under contract. Let's say the Steelers exit quickly after the wild card round and he feels like he's had his run in Pittsburgh, doesn't want to go through more hoo-ha with another quarterback there. I don't know. I would say there's maybe two or three guys who, if they became available in the next couple of weeks, Stephen Ross might say, there's a significant upgrade right there. I would say other than that, Mike McDaniel is going to be your head coach next season. Everything points in that direction.
They keep dating. Your wife wasn't the first girl you took out to dinner. Solana, your fiance, wasn't the first girl you took out to dinner. You ran through some trash before you found the love of your life. Keep dating, Stephen Ross. Go date somebody to be your head coach.
Problem is, every time you start it over again, you are resetting the clock way back. So again, if you're just resetting it for the sake of resetting it, you're not doing yourself any good in the long run.
But Huck, did you know Vrabel? And we knew Vrabel was a good coach with the Titans, but did you know he was going to be what he is with the Patriots that fast? It's been 2 years.
No, but again, there's more to it. They got a quarterback. They found a quarterback. To me, the most important cog is the quarterback. They've identified that Tua's not their guy. To me, that's probably a more important decision than getting rid of the head coach, who I don't think has been an abject failure. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying he's a success. I don't think he's been an abject failure. Aaron Glenn was an abject failure. He's going to be back, but he was an abject failure this season, right? We've never had that season under Mike McDaniel.
Wouldn't you rather have the abject failure in year one rather than immediate success in 2022? Who knows what happens if Tua doesn't get hurt? Fine. 2023, you were better, but you blew a 3-game lead in the division. You were 1-7 against playoff teams. You still haven't been able to beat playoff teams. You've regressed as a head coach. And listen, man, like I had these two written down regarding Mike McDaniel from Chris Kaufman. Dolphins averaged 25 points in 54 games with Tua Tagovailoa if he played at least a half. In 14 games that McDaniel called offenses for different quarterbacks, 15 points per game. That's with Teddy Bridgewater, Skylar Thompson, Tim Boyle, Mike White, Huntley, Zach Wilson, Quinn Ewers. He writes, they all struggled in McDaniel's scheme. And then another tweet from Chris Kaufman. Reminder that since Mike McDaniel took over the Dolphins, they're the worst 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1 conversion percentage in the NFL, 44%. The median is 61%. Like, to Crowder's point, fine, he hasn't been an abject failure. He's regressed every year.
That's fine.
He hasn't been able
I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying, we saw Cam Cameron. That dude was an abject failure. There was no need to debate. You know, it was like, this team cannot go through that again. We've never had that season. This season was shaping up to be that. But if I said to you, what was the most important lesson to learn from this season? Was it that you need a quarterback who's someone other than Tua Tagovailoa or a head coach who's someone other than Mike McDaniel? In my opinion, they got that decision right. To me, the more important personnel move is a new quarterback. And they've obviously started moving in that direction just based on the fact that Tua didn't play the final 3 games. So if I had my choice between the two, and it was you can keep McDaniel or you can keep Tua, I would keep McDaniel over Tua at this point, because I think Mike Vrabel, to Crowder's point, is the perfect example of, hey, you get a good quarterback like Drake May, all your problems seemingly get wiped away.
And this is the thing, too, and it's just hypothetical. It's just you can't answer it, but I would say no. Broncos 14-3, Patriots 14-3, Jags 13-4. If one of those head coaches, if Vrabel, is not with the Patriots and you replace him with Mike McDaniels, I do not think they have 14 wins this year. Same roster, same coach. I mean, same roster, same quarterback, different coach. You put McDaniel in that building, they're not 14-3. That's my opinion.
And you said it can't be answered. You might be right. Yeah. I'm not trying to make a case for Mike McDaniel. You know what I mean? I'm just saying.
And we're putting you in the corner of being a defender.
I'm just reporting the news, which is this dude's going to be your head coach. Save a couple of guys coming available in the next couple of weeks. This guy's going to be your head coach next season. So I'm trying to get into the mindset of Stephen Ross and whoever else ultimately is comfortable with that decision to figure out why. And I think it might be some of the reasons that I laid out, which is there's no one that you look at that says this is a slam dunk better head coach. And there's no way that you look at him and say this has been the biggest failure of any coaching stint in our history, because it hasn't been that either.
But if the bar is this season wasn't an abject failure, and in year four the season or the team has regressed, you started 1-6 and were basically saying he's keeping his job because he was able to salvage a 1-6 start to ultimately end up 7-10 in year four, still not win a playoff game, and really lose the only 2 games against quality opponents that he had a chance to go up against in this stretch, which was the Monday Night Football game against the Steelers, where they were just severely outclassed and then blown out against the number two seed in the AFC, who's probably going to run your division for the next decade, then Stephen Ross genuinely does not know what he's doing.
Who do you think had a better season as a head coach? Todd Bowles, who started 6-2 and collapsed, don't even make the playoffs by the end of the season, or Mike McDaniel, who started 1-6 and kind of got things rolling, and I say that with a moderate rolling, but kind of got things rolling later on in the season?
The optics are the coach that figured it out and didn't lose the – yeah, didn't let the wheels fall off the wagon, the one that started slow and figured it out. But to be honest, Hawk, they're both C students. Neither of them are on the honor roll, and right. We're just saying, hey – which student, the one that starts with A's and end up with C's or starts with F's and end up with C's? They're both C's.
Because I would say to you, they're both in the same situation, right? Tampa could fire Todd Bowles because what a collapse there. But for what reason? Like, it wasn't the worst season in the world. And they still have, I think, Baker Mayfield's a decent quarterback. Like, I could see Tampa having this same exact conversation about Todd Bowles that the Dolphins must be having about Mike McDaniel. I just
except he's won a Super Bowl.
No. I get it.
You know, so you give him the benefit of the doubt.
I get it, but the Raiders didn't give Pete Carroll the benefit of the doubt. He's got a Super Bowl, right? Or did he lose?
No, with the Seahawks, he had a Super
Steelers.
Bowl. But
that was the
the Seattle. Seahawks. Right, but my point being, Pete Carroll was brought in there this year with the Raiders to turn things around and try to get that organization back on track. And it felt like in his first year there, things got even worse.
Yeah.
And Todd Bowles, you know, they were banged up all season long. And maybe, you know what, the Baker Mayfield era might have come to an end there because sometimes things run its course. That's fine. But you can't compare it, in my opinion, to the Dolphins, where you're in a situation where you've won zero playoff games in 25 years. McDaniel has gotten you farther and farther away from that goal. How much influence did he have in paying Tua? How much influence did he have with Chris Greer's roster decision-making? How much influence did he have with re-signing Tyreek Hill, re-signing Jalen Waddle, re-signing Tua, re-signing Jalen Ramsey, none of which moves worked, and now not only are you retaining him after a 7-10 season, you're giving him influence to pick the next general manager. None of it makes sense to me.
I'm not saying that McDaniel should be here, but you said he made things worse. He's better than Gase. He's better than
I'm saying year by Philbin. year by year.
He's better than Sperano. He's a better coach. He's a better head coach than the last five or six guys before him.
But he's gotten worse year by year.
Oh,
in terms of
personally.
Record. In terms of record. And I mean, I'm just reading you two stats here of things that he schematically wasn't able to fix. Two of his major flaws. Those are just two of his major flaws. There are several major flaws which he's been unable to correct over 4 years. I like Mike McDaniel. By the way, I happen to think he will end up being a good head coach. But his time here should have ended yesterday.
Well, I'm just saying, prepare yourself. I don't think it is. Here's a couple more tweets regarding his season-ending press conference, which is going on right now. Joe Shad from the Palm Beach Post says, McDaniel said, Quinn Ewers did a great job in his three games, but the Dolphins are not eliminating an outside QB addition. Mike McDaniel said, I'll just flat out say it. The season was a failure. The organization is depending on me to take a hard look at everything. Mike McDaniel said, I have a great relationship with Tom Garfinkel and Brandon Shore and Mr. Ross. Mike McDaniel said he will meet with Tua on Tuesday. They will have a healthy conversation. They're in the GM hiring process. Some decisions are organizational. Yeah, that's it. He says, on the QB competition in 2026, Mike McDaniel says it's the most important position on the football field. So he's certainly speaking as a head coach who plans on being there for next season, because he's not saying, well, I don't know, that's a decision for the organization to make. He's talking about the organization as if it's his organization. So, like I said, prepare.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Air yourself. Mike Cugno's on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline, and you can watch Cugno on CBS4 and oftentimes on CBS Sports HQ nationally. So, Cugno, I'll ask you, I've asked everybody, essentially, have you seen enough from Mike McDaniel to say, yes, I would be thrilled for him to continue on, or... no, I don't ever want to see him prowling the sidelines again for the Miami Dolphins. Or are you in this camp that's like, hey, the quarterback underperformed and his best wide receiver was gone for most of the season and you can't make any kind of rash decision on Mike McDaniel after that season? He kind of kept it together.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the camp that because he kept it together down the stretch and made the tough decision of benching Tua, which kind of maybe turns the page on that chapter in Dolphins history. I'm of the camp of giving him another year and seeing what the next GM wants to do. So whoever the next general manager comes in, and give him a year with Mike McDaniel and then let him make that decision and see if that's the kind of football, the kind of style they want to play. I'm really interested to see what Mike McDaniel's offense could look like with a different quarterback, because at times Quinn Ewers and that offense looks good. And a lot of that has to do with Quinn's mobility. They can roll him out. It gives them options. You know, when unfortunately, because of, you know, Tua's lack of mobility, I feel like when he rolls out, it's like everyone on defense, okay, just go guard a man because there was no threat to really run. And I think with Quinn, you do have that little extra added element. And that's why I would like to see the offense with another year and with Quinn or someone else in their center.
It can't be Quinn. It wasn't even my question. There's no chance they bring Quinn back as the number one, Mike. Is that even possible?
Are you in a bathroom? What are you doing?
I said he's got a terrible microphone, but he's also in an Airbnb that's way too echoey.
It can't. Well, why not? What I'm looking for is just opening up the competition.
Wait a second, Cuño, because I'm watching him on video. So you made fun of the sound, and then Crowder started looking at the microphone as if he was going to fix something. I want to know what you were doing there, Crowder.
It's a button on the back that says pattern.
That sounds 1,000 times better.
Yeah. It sounded like you were yelling into the microphone jack.
I told you it was the setting.
The difference there was that he's actually talking into the microphone.
No, it's 100% the setting. Okay. He had the setting wrong.
Pattern.
Yeah. You sound 1,000 times better.
Solana.
You'll see.
All right. Go ahead. Re-ask your question, Crowder. I want Cuño to hear you in the delightful, dulcet tones of Channing Crowder.
There's no way, Mike, that they come back with Quinn. Just tell me that's not true. They have to do something. If it's a stopgap, if it's something. But you don't go into 2026 NFL season and say Quinn Ewers is our leader.
No, but I think you can. I think you can say Quinn's done enough and shown you enough that he can play in the NFL to where at least he's a backup. I like the idea of them opening up the quarterback position to competition just in general, and having someone go and fight for the job. I mean, look what happened in San Francisco. They draft Trey Lance and they draft Brock Purdy, and it's all like the kind of talk there was Brock looked great in camp, and then eventually end up beating Trey Lance to the job, right? So that, or was it Jimmy Garoppolo? I can't remember at this point. I think it was Trey Lance. But, that's what I would like to see. We haven't seen competition opened up at that position for the Dolphins in a long time. We sort of went from Tannehill to the stopgap of Ryan Fitzpatrick to Tua.
I would say to all you guys, though, there might be a financial reality that you have to come back with Quinn Ewers, because if you really are done with Tua and you've got to eat all that cap, and then you can't make any kind of maneuver to get someone worthwhile, just financially. I mean, Quinn Ewers is as cheap as they come. He's on a rookie deal. So just financially, you might be stuck with Quinn Ewers and say, hey, you know what? We'll give it a shot this season. He gives us, like Cuño said, more mobility than Tua did. It couldn't be much worse. And we'll at least have that year to get rid of the cap problem. And then we'll be able to make a determination about Quinn Ewers. I mean, ideally, I think you'd love to have him as a cheap backup, but there might be a financial reality that he's your starter.
Yeah, and look, yesterday's outcome is a little weird, too, with the Patriots. So it could kind of skew the way you look at Quinn, because he didn't have a full complement of weapons offensively, right? So do they end up scoring on a couple of those drives, especially the first one, and maybe that first one coming out of the half? That game flips there because they end up having to chase after the turnover in the end zone and turnover on down. So they're chasing that whole game with Achane and Waddle and whatever other complement of weapons you want. Does that game flow change? So it's kind of hard to judge Quinn on yesterday alone, but I've definitely seen enough to where you at least feel good about QB2 going into next year.
And Mike, this is my original question was about McDaniel. Just all we've heard, even like you're saying, we had the 2023 season and, open it up, Denver 70-point game. We talk about it like it was yesterday. But also like the team discipline, the team identity, the stuff about their take, we're taking ping pong tables out of this and guys aren't showing up. And then Tua's throwing his teammates under the bus. And, guys, he even said it before last season during the offseason after 2024, he was like, well, guys don't care when I find them. That aspect to him being the head coach, minus the play calling, minus the on-the-field stuff, the identity of the team, and also the respect he has from inside the locker room.
Yeah, but can't you say the same thing about going from 1-6 to making a run at the end? Doesn't that also show something that he was able to keep it together despite the slow start? Now, the slow start, if you want to – if you want to criticize that, that's fair. They have to figure that out because it's a couple of years now we've seen these slow starts happen. But he does deserve some credit there for not letting the season completely get away from them. The final 4 weeks of the year, or really the fourth to last week, the last month, there was a chance to keep them alive. It was an outside chance, but he kept it together after a 2-6 start.
If he's back next year, and it's looking like he's going to be, Mike, should he have a say in player personnel moving forward, roster acquisitions moving forward? And I take it a step further, just based on the reports of who the general manager candidates are, one could assume that, you know, his relationship with some of these guys, or the fact that he's worked with them or crossed paths with them in the past, is influencing who the Dolphins are going to end up hiring. Should that be the case? Should he have influence in other parts of the organization other than just head coaching moving forward?
Well, at a certain point, the chef has to have a say in the ingredients that he wants to work with, right? So I think there is on some level, no matter who the GM is going to be, that there will be some collaborative effort. Unless you get a guy in here who says, you know, I'm moving on from McDaniel right away, and this isn't the vision I have for a team, then that would be the whole essentially a sweeping change here for the Dolphins. I just don't see that. I don't see that happening. So yeah, I mean, he's the one who runs this offense, and you hire an offensive coach, so you don't have to keep hiring offensive coordinators every year because they get plucked by another team. So yeah, I think he does have to have some sort of say in what personnel fits this offense. And look, I mean, they've done a good job so far in terms of the run game. They've figured things out. They've made creative decisions with, you know, the Daniel Brunskills of the world, moving him to that sort of tight end, sixth offensive lineman blocker, and that turned the season around. So there is some proof of life there in that offense that when he's, you know, picking some personnel, they're having success.
And Mike, when's the last time like a big decision, who, you know, your pediatrician, CPA, financial advisor, just a decision you're going to make that in the middle of the night you say, you know what, I need Troy Aikman on my side. I need to make sure Troy Aikman's behind me. It blew my mind. I thought I got catfished or something online. Troy Aikman's coming to help us find a GM. What do you understand about that?
Yeah, that one's a weird one to me. I start to ask myself, does Troy Aikman want to get in the front office business? And is this his maybe first step dipping his toe in that? I don't know. I mean, he's been around the league a long time. Obviously, he knows a lot of people. He meets with all these teams, all these coaches each and every week as he travels around and does Monday Night Football. So he does have, I guess, relationships with some of these front office people and guys he gets to see on a weekly basis. That would be maybe my only thing. And unless they're hiring a search firm, I know sometimes you see that teams will hire search firms for coaches and stuff. So maybe this is that attempt, instead of going through search firm, you just kind of use the expertise in the building with guys like Dan Marino as well, and then an outside voice, which honestly, it sounds odd at first, because you're like, well, he's calling football games, but he's also a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's seen what winning looks like up close. He's won Super Bowls. So, I mean, more information is good, I guess.
I also think there's a new thing developing, which is double dipping from broadcasters and football players. Tom Brady does both. He has an ownership stake and a management stake with the Raiders, and he's a broadcaster. Troy Aikman, very well, because he's not giving up a TV job, which I think pays him $10 to $20 million a season. He's not giving that up unless he can do both. And I just saw on Twitter that Matt Ryan is up for the job with the Falcons, kind of president of football operations for Atlanta, but he wants to retain his role with CBS the way that Tom Brady is allowed to retain his role with Fox. So this may be a new thing moving forward where broadcasters get to double dip as advisors or front office people with NFL teams.
Well then my opportunity is just open way up.
Yes, what changes would you make, Cuno?
Hey, It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com.
All right, Woody, thank you so much. And I saw him yesterday at the game, Omar Kelly, Miami Herald Dolphins columnist, joins us this morning. Omar, how you doing?
I'm fine, Joe. I'm enjoying this cold weather a little bit. Not.
Not me. That was cold. It wasn't as cold as that Monday Night Football in Pittsburgh, but it was chilly.
I agree with you. I'm like, I go through the whole Dolphin season just trying to avoid cold weather, just like the team.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, another game against a winning team that we didn't win. Hey, we got a lot of work to do. We might as well get right into it. Can you remember a time where a team from top to bottom has more work to do to try to clean this thing up ever?
2007. I think that was a pretty good bad rebuild. Maybe 2011. You didn't have that many pieces left. You had to find a new quarterback. But in both instances, you weren't in cap hell. And I know this team isn't in cap hell because, you know, they can cut five players and get to under 50, I think $55 million under the cap, the projected cap. But I will say this, that's with Tua on the roster as a backup. Who has any clue what the plan is? I don't know. To releasing Tua, trading Tua, that's going to take away much of your capital. But if the Denver Broncos did it, you can do it too.
You agree? I think he needs. Hopefully, he retires. Honestly, but he's getting his money. Like they need to let him go, don't they?
I don't know. For the last, I just watched him this week, and he wouldn't throw. I didn't see him completely during the warm-up, but I saw him before practice, and he wasn't throwing. I don't know, Joe, man. I don't know. I would, nobody has ever said that this is something that's medical or injury-related, but for your arm to lose velocity, I guess, and that snowballs into you losing your confidence.
All tied together. I agree. All tied together. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, can he get it back? I asked Mike that last week, not naming Tua specifically because Mike would have like danced around it because he doesn't really nobody. It's like the thing nobody talks about.
Yeah,
and it's been that way for like weeks. Nobody will talk about Tua's arm, but it's Mike said that he can. I mean, basically said that a quarterback can get it back by working with getting his body better in shape and by working with a throwing coach. Yeah. And if I'm Tua, I'm going back to what I used to do. Who I used to work with, that includes Nick, trying to regain my mojo.
Yeah. That's an interesting one for another day, the whatever happened between Nick and Tua.
Yeah.
Hey, so let's get in some more stuff here. Troy Aikman is going to be the key consultant to go out and get some names. I'm guessing mostly assistant general managers that are in successful programs. What did you think when you heard that? I'm just curious.
Cool. I thought that they should have hired a consultant many, many times ago. Primarily because they just don't have the connections to get good candidates to take jobs with them. Maybe they have, but if you had hired a consultant when you were going after Sean Payton, maybe you wouldn't have got slapped with tampering. You know what I'm saying? Because maybe there wouldn't be a text history between you and the agent. Maybe the consultant would have handled that. So I think it can't hurt. But the bottom line, and this is a column I wrote for the Miami Herald, even before the game, and it still stands, I trust no one in that organization. Tell me why I should trust anyone in that organization, Joe. And I asked this question to the game day crew and they got no response. I'll ask you, Joe, why should you trust anybody?
I wouldn't trust anybody. At this point, it's spinning wheels in the mud, and we're stuck, and whatever comes out or anybody ever says, and unnamed sources say this or unnamed source, like, okay. I feel like I've heard some of this before. I'm with you.
Yeah,
I'm really down on this whole thing, and I'm potentially down on who's going to be involved in it. So
yeah. I mean, we got a new party. In terms of the son-in-law.
Yes.
We've got Brandon Shore, who I don't think was part of the last search committee. I'm going to keep my opinions up to myself because I get in trouble when I give my opinions of Brandon Shore and the salary cap situation, which the Dolphins have done horribly with their books for the last couple
of years. So why does Brandon Shore get a hall pass? That's what I'll say it. Like, why?
Because there's other things that he does, which I'm assuming he does very well.
I'm sure he's great with money, like giving money to everybody. No.
That when I say that, it's Chris had control over how much of the contract. Brandon just supposedly put them together based on the framework. Yeah. And
that's his job. That sounds like his job, but I don't want to hear people writing that, like, he was fighting, like, Chris, this is bad. We should not do this.
Brandon sure doesn't know football. And, you know, I hope that's not disrespectful, but...
No, he doesn't. No, I said the same thing 19 times last week. It's like Brandon Shore, like, all of a sudden I see his name popping up in the middle of this, and I'm like, hey, man, this is football. Like, this is scouting and background checks.
That's
this is not how smart you are.
You need to be able to identify an alpha male, because the football players are the toughest, roughest groups of individuals that you – maybe hockey players might challenge them. But they are the toughest, roughest group of 50 individuals that you will find in the city, and you need to find a coach that can motivate them, inspire them, coach them, create game strategies. And you've done this 5 times, and you've pretty much sucked at it. 5 times. So what makes me believe anything is going to be different? Because you don't get it. You don't know. And there are no big fish. Like Sean Payton, I was told by one of his former players, like, this regime, they would have struggled with Sean Payton, because Sean Payton's basically shut up and sit in the corner kind of coach.
Well, we have not had that for a while, where it's gotten like, hey, you guys stay in your lane. Don't get in ours. I don't want anybody tattletelling on anybody else.
Yeah, no,
we're keeping peace and love, and we're doing it my way.
Yes,
and this is what I'm doing. Yeah. I'm jumping over the top. We're going to go get this guy, and this is why. Because I freaking think he's really good.
And don't answer to nobody. Now, we wanted it, and that was a smart thing to do. Right now, unless John Harbaugh or Mike Tomlin get fired, and I honestly wouldn't make any decision on Mike, not even now. I wouldn't make any decision on Mike until the GM gets hired. And I say that everybody keeps talking about Mike is safe. The last time you went for a GM search, which was Dennis Hickey, 3 other individuals turned you down because you forced them to take a coach, and they basically had no say in that. Have you learned from your mistake?
Yeah.
If no, okay, cool.
That's a good one, and I agree, because we got people, Mike should be fired today. I go, no, man, go through the process. No. The GM is the most important job. He got a lot. The GM got a lot of work ahead of him, starting with the head coach and the quarterback.
Absolutely.
By the way, Mike,
evaluate the system, evaluate the program, see what's going on. Talk to Mike about his third quarter. I mean, 130-27 third quarter differential. Yeah. Like, Joe, like, come on, man.
It's hard to do.
I forgot what the numbers of you against playoff teams is, but it's also astronomically horrible.
Yeah.
You're forced, you know, you winning games when trailing at the half, horrible. Those are all 3 things that coaches do. That's a coach's job, not a player's job. That's a coach's job. And you don't do it.
So Mike has no answers for the I listen after, and when you guys ask him, like, hey, Mike, another looked like a repeat of Monday Night Football against the Steelers. What happened with the Patriots? And it's happened like three or four other times. Come out and we get smoked, and the numbers are like
third
crazy.
Quarter, yeah,
terrible in the third. And he says, that's something we got to work on. Now he's saying, I got to fix it in the offseason.
Yeah. Okay. Well, sorry. It would have been nice if you fixed it during the season, but yeah. I guess he's got to talk to other coaches and figure out what the strategy is. Like, hey, what do you do at halftime? Because I can't do anything at halftime. I can't inspire my troops. They come out cold and they give up 130 points to 27.
Yeah, that's hard to do, 27 points in third quarter. You start breaking that down over 17 games. Like, ouch. That's a rough one. Hey, so As we look at this, I'm just curious, where do we find a quarterback if we all agree we've moved on from Tua? Where's the next quarterback that we could play with, knowing we're picking 11, we're not going to get the top two guys, they're going to be long gone? What are your thoughts? Is it somebody playing backup right now?
Maybe you go free agency with Malik Willis. It totally depends on who the general manager is. I heard yesterday from one of my favorite talent evaluators that he kicked the tires on Anthony Richardson. He explained why he would kick the tires on Anthony Richardson, which is, you know, he basically was like, you know, those quarterbacks that absolutely hit rock bottom, look at them 3 years later from where they are, and they all pretty much bounce back, most of them. So maybe that's the approach.
I don't know about that one. I'm off that one, but go ahead.
That requires really good quarterback coaching, and that's the one thing, which is why people don't understand why Mike is still here. Mike is still here because he's a really good quarterback coach, and those are hard to find. I mean, let's not act like Tua was trash for 6 years, because he wasn't. Tua's arm died on him. That's why we are where we are.
It looked like the whole body died on him. It's funny you said that. It kind of looks like everything, right? And by the way, with his physical limitations, I think it's affected his confidence. That's why we don't see him. Like, I never see him throw. When he does come out and throw, he very seldom lets it rip in warm-ups. And I'm like, this is weird. The other guys are out there letting it rip and warming up, and
I haven't seen him throw all week, and that makes me suspect that he shut the arm down. I don't know, Joe. I can't. You know, Tua's the only one that can really clarify this, because the Dolphins ain't touching it. So and Tua has nothing wrong with me. Okay, and it sounds like more like denial.
Yeah. Hey, so let's talk about this for just a second. Besides the quarterback position, we obviously need to upgrade the whole roster. It needs work. What would be the next position up for you, everything being equal in talent, in the draft at 11 for you, if you can't get a quarterback? What position would be your number one priority from what you've seen?
Well, you got to do two things to create cap space for yourself, and that's cut Bradley Chubb and cut Tyreek Hill. Chubb, maybe you restructure. I don't know. He restructured last time and got walked away with like $12 million. So, you know, hey, maybe he does it again. So you got to do those two things. If you cut Chubb, you're left with Chop Robinson as your only pass rusher on the roster.
That's not a good start.
That sits at the top of the list. You know, Rasul Douglas and Jack Jones, they're both free agents. Cater's a free agent as well. You don't have a starting cornerback right now on your roster. Minkah Fitzpatrick should really play safety. So if he's back, because I don't really have a confidence level that he's going to be back, because Minkah could force his way out of here. It is what it is. This is business time. So you don't have a secondary. You don't have a cornerback. You probably don't have a secondary, because Dante Trader didn't start or play significant minutes in the last couple of games. So you don't have a secondary. You don't have pass rushers. Offensive line, I know you need to do more, but they were pretty good. You definitely need to re-sign Cole Strange. Running back, you're cool. I don't know how you feel about Jalen Wright as the number two or not, but I'm not with it. but no offense to Jalen. If you'd done a better performance,
I think we need another wide receiver because Tyreek Hill's not coming back. That's got to be up there.
No, I actually, you know what? I actually think Tyreek Hill wants to come back and will come back at a discount, a significant discount. I don't know what it's going to be.
No, thank you.
And I don't know. Oh, no, thank you.
Not for me. No.
Okay. All right. I mean,
first of all, I got to physically see it, and I know he is his physical freak of nature.
He is a physical freak of nature,
and I agree. I'm not arguing with the things he can do, but I got to see that number one and number two.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to go through the 24 hours a day? Here we go again.
I mean, desperate times call for desperate measures, Joe. I mean. And if Mike is back, you know, Mike is going to go. Mike leans on what he knows. And that's, you know, maybe the next GM doesn't allow him to. But, you know, we're Cedric Wilson in it. Like, bro, we lean on what we know.
Yeah.
So we lean on comfort and familiarity. And remember how long it takes these guys to to learn his offense. And I will say this, and this I could put this on Chris Greer, even though Mike has some influence on it. Name me the free agent wide receiver that has actually hit for the Dolphins during the last 4 years.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
no,
that list is pretty bad.
Well, I'll tell you, there's as you said, we just it was a teaser. It was nothing more than an appetizer for all the work they have. Ahead of him, for sure. Omar, thanks, man. Have a good flight home. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later.
Omar Kelly from the Miami Herald joining us here to just get started. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. There is a lot of stuff. I don't believe, by the way, any shot Tyreek Hill's back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angi.com.
None. They call it Black Monday for a reason.
Oh.
Yeah. By the way, you kind of feel bad, but it's a cold business. I mean, literally.
They said he should be a top candidate in several places. So
I think
we become one of those places that needs a candidate after today.
If you don't have success with the Jets, or you don't have success with Cleveland, I think you get a do-over quickly. I think Robert Saleh is going to get another job. They're saying out in San Francisco, defensive coordinator left the Jets. He's probably going to get another head coaching job. I don't know.
Those places are so toxic.
I don't know, Woody, but speaking of toxic and a lot of work to do, I don't know. I've been doing this a long time, and I'm thinking back, and Omar trying to bring back some times when we had a lot of work to do. And listen, when you're not winning games, there's no question. Usually you need more talent, right? Nobody's going to disagree with that. You need more talent. You need to figure out the quarterback situation. You need a franchise-looking quarterback, which we do not have. And so the Dolphins have put out, it happened a couple days ago, the GM search. And Troy Aikman is going to be the key consultant, former Dallas Cowboy Hall of Fame quarterback. You see him on Monday Night Football. Matter of fact, getting after Tua and Mike pretty good for lack of urgency in the fourth quarter of calling plays and getting on the ball down three touchdowns to some of the throws that Tua made in that game. So he was is pretty critical. And by the way, right on the money. Right on the money with his thoughts. Same as mine during the game. So a lot of people have asked me about, well, Troy Aikman, this is kind of weird. Troy Aikman's coming in here, but what about Dan Marino? I said, well Dan's going to be involved. Well, this is kind of weird. This doesn't feel right. And so they're both going to be involved, but there are a lot of people, including a guy that does fan radio, Boomer Esiason, and here's his thoughts on when he heard about Troy Aikman going to be the new consultant to help find the general manager.
What about Mike McDaniel? Has he gotten his job back?
It seems like he's keeping his job, man. And if they're hiring, they're hiring Troy Aikman.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, Troy Aikman knows the league. He does, you know, Monday Night Football, talks to all these people, knows everybody within the league. But they're hiring him as a consultant as opposed to Dan Marino, who's already there as a consultant.
Yeah, they're going to work together. Collaboration.
You think they're going to collaborate together?
Those two guys, yeah.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think they like each other?
No, I think they like each other, but I would imagine if I'm Dan Marino, I'm like, what are we doing? We're bringing in Troy Aikman?
But is Dan like a...
It'd be one thing if Jerry Jones called up Troy.
Okay, but
I mean, like the Giants calling up Phil.
But what
now, let's say the Jets called up Phil.
I do it. This is a question I would have, though. Is Dan like locked in, or is he just like sort of there to be Dan Marino when they need him to be Dan Marino?
No, I think he's locked in. I think he's involved.
All right. Then, yeah, it would be awkward.
That's the first thing I thought of.
Well, I just figured Dan was like, that was just like, you throw him in the media guide and say Dan Marino's a part of it, but he's really just out there deep sea fishing somewhere.
It's the first thing I thought of was like, wow, that's really, I found it to be very interesting. Not that I don't think Troy would be able to do what they're asking him to do and just consult. You know, I think there was a lot of talk about Troy possibly being a GM someday. Like, there's a talk about Tom Brady or Peyton Manning being GMs.
Yeah,
but they don't want that job. That job requires an awful lot of time, and there's so much that goes into it. Like I would never want that job. I would never. I don't have the time, nor do I have the desire to ever want a job like that.
Would you send Dan a text about this? Like, what the F's going on, man?
No, I mean, like, I just, it, from where I sit and from what I did, I just, you know, there's egos involved. All right.
So that was Boomer Esiason. So if you were thinking the same thing, you weren't alone. As There will be more, and I guess I was told the next couple of days we'll know who's going to be on the committee and involved with this general manager search. Exactly. I've heard different names. You've heard them too. Different people and Stephen Ross's family, including his son-in-law, who's getting more active in the team. I got to believe Tom Garfinkel is going to be involved. Brandon Shore's name keeps popping up. And then I don't know who else. I don't know what the list can look like, but they made it clear they want Troy Aikman. They wanted some fresh eyeballs from the outside and not here. And by the way, just with that theme, I'm with them. Like, okay, if we're doing some outside stuff, why are we still doing so much inside stuff and keeping people around that have been inside a long time? We haven't friggin' won. You got to go back and you got to evaluate every scout, everybody involved in free agency that evaluates free agents to every guy in the draft from every school, doesn't matter what size, to make sure we're doing something different than the Chris Greer way. And if we're still doing the Chris Greer way, shame on us. If that's all those people know, hey, Dave Hyde's been on this for a year. Dave Hyde has said, hey, man, if you're going to do it, clean it. If you're going to clean it, clean it. Get some people that can do it the way the new GM wants to do it. And by the way, you shouldn't do anything till the GM gets here. Whoever the GM's going to be, whether it's Champ, who's here already, or somebody else, hey, man, when they go, all right, it's your job. All right, well, listen, first of all, not a fan of that guy. They're out. I got some ideas on some people I want because I'm going to do things differently. I'm going to put, I don't have a crush on certain colleges, number one. Number two, we're going to do strong background checks, which this organization is not known for. There are going to be a lot of different things. And we're going to make it clear how things are going to work between head coach and general manager. It just can't be, well, we had breakfast together and we were laughing at you guys. So anyway, there's a lot of work to do, man. There's just a lot of work to do. Flying home last night, I was just doing a list around the GM search stuff, which is by itself is very, very important, the most important thing before you get to head coach and you get to quarterback and you get to expensive players to fill out the roster on cheap players. Draft. This draft is so important, man. You got to hit some home runs. We've been saying that forever. We've been saying we got to hit home runs forever. And either the guys we've hit on we couldn't keep because of money, didn't give them a new contract, or we got teased. Tease with big money, the biggest contract in the history of this franchise, too, is Tagovailoa. And I don't know what. Omar insinuated he's just out of shape and he's not the same guy. I don't know. It makes sound like he hadn't taken care of himself. I don't know that stuff. I just know this. When the body doesn't work like it used to and you don't run and throw like you used to, it affects your confidence. It does. It affects your confidence. And that's what I saw from Tua this year. I saw a guy start losing confidence, and they started shrinking the playbook more and more and more with things he could do. And finally, that Monday Night Football, that was it. Another cold weather game, that was the end. That was it. And by the way, the cold weather thing is alive and well. The Patriots did it to us again. I didn't think we were going to beat the Patriots, by the way. Not with all the guys we had out. Hell, probably even if they're all playing, we're going to get kicked around pretty good. I just didn't see this 38-10 loss, which, by the way, we've had a few of these where it was a close game, and in the third quarter.
You thought they were going to hang?
I thought they were going to hang around.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
First of all, I didn't know if the Patriots were going to play all their guys. I didn't know where they're going to take it. But anyway.
That didn't matter for the Jets and the Bills.
So anyway,
Bills pulled Josh Allen after one play.
Yeah,
still won by 100.
He wanted to keep their. Yeah, well, they beat us. We got beat the same way. Another problem we have that we have to take a serious look at, and again, I don't have any answers, but I know we were blown out in six games. Indy, Cleveland, pick six to start that third quarter, game over. Baltimore, game over.
Mm-hmm.
Was that Thursday night football game, if I'm not mistaken?
I think so.
That was when
Lamar came back.
Lamar came back. Yeah. And look great. Pittsburgh, Monday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, close game. Cold. And next thing you know, we got cold looking. We got cold looking. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati, we got Joe Burrow. And then the Patriots, we started that game, we looked a little cold.
The cold thing's a Tua thing, though, isn't it? Like, I mean, doesn't he own most of that? I think that's kind of his thing. So hopefully we can get past that. But
we do have to get, if we're going to stay in this division, unless there's something where we can just play indoors or in sunny weather, we have to get a weatherproof quarterback. I saw one yesterday. I see one twice a year in Buffalo. We have got to get that guy that can make all the throws and run around and do all crazy things. I got to tell you, the improvement of Drake May from last year to this year is off the charts. He made one play after another. First of all, we have him dead to rights on the outside, and he just rips away. I think the guy even grabbed his face mask, and he just kind of ripped it away and ran down the sideline, made the throw. He's just a different guy. In a matter of, even from the start of this year to the end, he is a different guy. So here we sit. Patriots win 14 games. The Bills win 12 games. They've got Josh Allen and Drake May. We win seven, and we don't know what's going on at quarterback. That's just the AFC East, Josh Allen and Drake May. Man, anyway, exit meetings and also physicals for players. Mandatory physicals, apparently, for even if you're a free agent, which I didn't know. Everybody's got to get checked out for business purposes for everybody in the league.
Sure seems like Lamar Jackson could be a realistic possibility.
Why? What do you see now?
Well, I just saw the stuff they're asking him after the game. It's like everyone seems to think that him and his coach are done there. And they probably could use a change of scenery, to be quite honest, right?
Can I tell you something?
I mean, Lamar's clearly at the end of his career.
If they're sitting there and the owner is saying, and the GM are saying, okay, Lamar or John Harbaugh loses every time.
No, I know, but at some point, too, if you're the Ravens, you got to be like, all right, we have not been able to win a Super Bowl with this guy. He's at.
So are they saying that in Buffalo and Cincinnati? Are they saying that they're getting rid of the same guy?
But I think Lamar is at the end of his career where those guys are not.
He's 28.
I know, Joe, but
he's 28 years old, Woody. Listen to me. He's 28.
You've seen him. He's dealing with a lot of injuries. He played, very reckless early in his career.
Did you watch the game yesterday?
Seems like the game that they lost?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got a ton of passes batted down. Not his fault, I guess, but
we just going to blame him for everything on that loss?
But that was a bad loss. I mean, Pittsburgh could not move the football.
Woody, how many Lamar Jacksons do we have in the league? How many guys
there's
at that level?
There's one Lamar Jackson, Joe.
Huh?
There's one Lamar Jackson. He's very good. That's why I'm saying if you could make a play at that guy, you should.
So then what's Baltimore going to do? Are they going to beat the Dolphins the next 20 yards, 20 years?
I don't care what Baltimore does, but it's very possible that they're like, all right,
well, you should care because they're looking, everybody's got the same situation.
I'm just
situation.
Reading into what they're talking about over there, man.
They did that with Joe Burrow.
They did do that with Joe Burrow.
Look at the guy, when he played against us, he's going anywhere?
Probably not.
They're kissing his ass with Joe. Hey, you're in on all the decisions. You like this guy, Zach Taylor, as your head coach? If not, his ass is gone.
I'm telling you, I want the guy. I mean, that's all I'm trying to tell you. Like, if it happens where they're like, all right, we're going to move on, then
I would
pay whatever they're asking
and
do it.
I would take Lamar Jackson
of course.
In a heartbeat and whatever we have to throw in. I'm going to tell you why. First of all, he's from here. Second of all, I know he wants to play down here. Everybody knows. He's made that clear. In a perfect world, he likes it down here. he'd be good for business. Lamar Jackson's one of the handful of guys good for business with the things he can do.
Well, he'd be the most exciting quarterback you've had in generations. So, yes, that would be like, if he decides or they decide, maybe Lamar might say, I want out.
They try talking him out of it.
Okay, but he might, Joe. He might be like, hey, I don't want to play here anymore. I don't like the direction this is heading. By the way, how much more of a beating could Derrick Henry take every single season?
By the way, Lamar also has to look and go, do I really want to go there?
To Miami?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not a good situation.
Yeah.
Well, that's a terrible situation.
I'm not talking about living down here. He loves living down here. But so does everybody else.
I'm guessing, though, he would want to play here. They gave him some assurances they could, surround him with some players.
We've been promising everybody we can surround everybody with players. We haven't done a very good job of getting enough good players.
If you brought back Tyreek Hill somehow, and you brought back
Waddle,
why
are you on this bring back Tyreek Hill after HN? Everything we've been through him? You and I just, we need to talk off the air. I'm not on the Tyreek train at all. And I don't think the organization. The stuff you put up with him.
I'm doing a Lamar Jackson scenario here. Because, yes, you're right. Lamar is not going to want to come in here and be some part of some rebuild.
And how are you
going to? That he's not going to want to do.
Anyway, all right, we got to go to break here. Hey, listen, man, stay in make-believe world. I love your stuff today. It's good.
You better get used to make-believe world because we're going to be in it for a while, my friend. All right?
You're right.
Got a while till the draft here.
All right. Hey, I tried to stay away from the did I mention we have 11th pick in the upcoming draft?
But you may want to buy some real estate in make-believe world over there, right?
All right. We've got to go to break. We'll be right back.
Wow. Interesting.
No, not interesting.
Interesting.
Hey, you know what? Let me change my stuff. Because old algorithm over here. He has an X algorithm. I promise you. Anytime they mention my name, send it to me. I'm telling you.
Somebody alerted me to this.
I didn't know.
I didn't know.
They don't know who you are when they said you got connections. You ain't got no connections.
Don't get mad at me. Just because they want to talk about my Ant-Man video on their talk show. We were watching.
No. That's my own no.
Why?
Immediate oh no. It takes
precedence. Can I tell Jennifer what happened?
Sure.
I'd like to be informed.
I don't get to know.
Brittany, would you like to know what happened?
Yeah, I would.
I was just watching. I happened to be sent a clip by Heat Culture on Twitter that they were playing my Anthony Edwards video on No Fouls Given, which is, of course, an NBA podcast, which there's none of those. An NBA podcast hosted by our former friend of the show, Danny Green, and, of course, my mortal enemy, Paul Pierce.
Paul Pierce.
And they were discussing... This is Brendan Tobin's video from the game of Anthony Edwards.
Who's the other guy?
I think that's Big Waz. I think he's an NBA talk show host guy. I think he's the host.
Because first of all, he lost all credibility when he didn't know that Spoelstra was named.
He didn't lose credibility. Yeah, he didn't know that it was officially named. He seemed like a perfectly fine gentleman. Anyway.
So what did they say about your video?
Well, they were just like, look at this Ant-Man hobnobbing with the Heat. You guys think that he could end up with the Miami Heat one day? And Danny Green, of course, friend of the show, he said, I could see it. Paul Pierce said no, of course, because he's a curmudgeon rat bastard. Mm-hmm. But very interesting. Seems like boots on the ground, Leroy, has sparked a national debate. Will Anthony Edwards want to find his way to Miami? People are wondering.
Nobody is.
I love it when you cry.
Well, that's not true. That's not true. It was a topic.
If he's trending, Leroy, people are talking. I'll give it to him this time.
He's not trending.
I'm not trending. It just happened to be alerted.
Somebody had to send him the...
It's
It's not trending.
It's trending.
I'm all up. If people want to discuss.
How would you know if it's trending?
If
you do 12 minutes a show.
Wow. You know what, Leroy? At least I know how to navigate through Twitter. Thank you very much.
I know how to navigate through Twitter.
You don't.
Mm-hmm. You don't.
You don't.
Minus one.
Minus one for sass.
For technological snafu.
I didn't have a technological snafu.
For lashing out.
I did not.
I'm just saying, you know, it's interesting that they do mention it, though. One has to wonder, what do you want to end up there?
One does not wonder. Well, they lost all credibility when they said, I'm more than sure he has sources.
You don't know that I don't have sources. I talk to people. I was hobnobbing with Heat personnel on Saturday. They come up to me. Just so you know, kind sir. You know who I was talking to on Saturday?
Somebody said, I'm insufferable. What?
Yeah, agreed. You want to know what happened with me on Saturday? I was hobnobbing with Heat Brass. I won't say who, but I was hobnobbing. And it wasn't Tommy Tighe this time.
You weren't on Heat Weekly for the 17th consecutive week?
I wasn't. I've only been on once this year.
Man, Leroy is so upset with you with that. He wants to be on it.
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm. So bad. No, you're always mentioning it.
He should be on.
Here's why.
You're always upset when Tobin's on it.
All right, then here. Here's my oh no. Tobin.
Why?
I'll tell you why. Because I see you on all these social, you know, in these social environments on Heat Weekly. People call you and ask you. And I'm like, that guy makes a little bit of sense. That's not the jackass I talk to on a daily basis.
What are you talking about?
You never.
What?
You know what I'm talking about. Wile E. Coyote does not do national stuff or do stuff with Tommy Tighe.
Okay.
No, really? 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 I get Wile E. Coyote. I don't get serious guy. Mm-hmm. I don't get serious basketball guy.
I am a serious basketball head. I am. If Paul Pierce and Danny Green want to discuss what I happen to see boots on the ground, who am I to stop them?
There you go. Perfect. I know Karen-ness, but it's not going to happen. It's okay, Leroy. Maybe old Tobes will change next year. Only 360 days left.
My all right goes to this Dolphin season being over because it was exhausting.
All right.
Thank goodness it's over.
I got it.
It was exhausting.
Yeah.
It was purely exhausting. So I'm glad it's over.
I think I will add to that in that it was a lot of talking around a situation that seemed inevitable. And even me, we all tried to stay positive around Tua, right? We all tried to.
He wants a fresh start, by the way.
We all tried to talk about all the other things going on when the facts of the matter is that it was a dumpster fire from the beginning. And you gave some false, you know, sense of security with that little middle portion of the season. But, yeah, it was exhausting. It really was exhausting. But I will say this. For everybody that thinks that it was just on the quarterback, that's a bit harsh.
Because
It really wasn't. But he had his worst season, and it did not help at all. At all.
My oh no? It goes to this John Pooper. I can't believe you kept Sam Bennett off Team Canada. You're a real piece of work, John Pooper. Sam Bennett, the MVP of the postseason, doesn't deserve to represent the mecca of hockey. Are you effing kidding me?
Oh, no.
I'm tired of this guy. I'm tired of his antics. I'm tired of him bringing up just these goons from the minor leagues to deal with the Panthers because his real Lightning can't do it. And you embarrassed yourself. You disgrace a nation for petty little battles because Sam Bennett has kicked your ass. I'm not for it. That's my own no. Leroy?
My own no. I was just looking at
your own no.
Huh?
Yeah, you said it was me.
You're
all right.
My all right. I'm going to give it to the Canes. I'm going to give it to the Heat. I'm going to give it to the Panthers because last couple of days, not the outdoor thing, but other than that, the last couple of days have been
very enjoyable. Good sports days. I didn't even pay attention to the Dolphins because, well, we know.
I don't even blame you. That game sucked.
And so I really had fun with Squeaky Cheeks at the end of the Panthers game.
Yeah, thank God the Heat and Panthers are going at the same time. Like, it was a good distraction. That Dolphins game was a piece of crap.
Now, I always get caught up with the early Heat game. Because, you know, if I go to the channel and I see Heat are playing, I don't know if it happened yesterday or today. But I knew they played, you know.
Yeah, they did back-to-back early games.
Right. So, right. They show replays on TV. Crazy. But, yeah. So, I was really excited about all the stuff that, all the sports I enjoyed yesterday that didn't involve the Hurricanes. I mean, not the Hurricanes, the Dolphins. All good sports stuff. I think an old note. We should give it one honorable mention. Lane Kiffin, you're going. You're going. Let it go.
Let it go, dude. Let it go.
Let it go.
Jennifer, you're all right in Ono?
Well, you know what? My all right, honestly, was the Dolphins. I'm so glad this season is over. I'm exhausted. And I tried tuning into the game yesterday. I saw yours getting sacked, and I turned it off.
Oh my God, he was getting killed.
I just couldn't. I couldn't watch it anymore. And I'm so happy it's gone. For now, obviously. And also, my all right goes to my much needed break from home and leaving the state for some time. It was great.
All right. What state did you go to?
I went to Texas.
Oh, Texas. All right.
You ain't getting none of that sun.
Armadillos and cowboy boots.
There was no sun, actually.
Did you see some snakes and some road runners in the desert?
I was not in the desert.
Where were you?
Pretty close, but no.
Yeah.
I went to see some family that I have there. And they all said it was going to be really hot. And sure, it was hot for 2 days. Then after that, it was just cold. So there was no sun.
Brittany, you're all right. And you're oh no?
I mean,
and my oh no Brittany, goes to Leroy for lashing out too early in the year.
You make Brittany look dark as me because you're so pale. I don't know what's going on.
I think it's just that lighting in here, too. I'm the same color.
You're
I was
not
before.
That much lighter than Brittany.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Brittany, you're all right? No, no.
My all right goes to the past 2 weeks, just as a whole. It was just a great 2 weeks. I got to go back home and take some time off, and my niece turned one. I got to watch the Canes with all of my family, which I haven't done in like years. And then my cousin got engaged. So it was just an ultimate great finish to 2025.
Excellent.
And my oh no, unlike you guys, my oh no is going to go to the Dolphins because I understand that we're celebrating their season being over, but they're as a whole just a massive oh no.
They're a dumpster fire.
And yes. Although I'm excited to move on from this season, it's still a massive oh no when everyone else in the city seems to be, you know, moving in the right direction except for them.
In other words, she's not celebrating the end of a dumpster fire. She wants to point out the dumpster fire.
Exactly. I want to put an emphasis on it rather than move past
right.
it.
Right. I got you.
We can't just glaze past it. We have to, you know.
Well, we've almost come to blows yelling about this team, trying to explain to that right now we're just mentally exhausted and we want to just move forward. Yep. So this enables us to move forward. So if people are pissed off about the Dolphins, I get it.
We got plenty of things to dissect this offseason. Yes. It's going to be going to be a task.
By the way, speaking of task, if I hear you one time talk about anything other than Ole Miss, it's go time.
All right, I'll keep the task at hand.
Right. I second that.
Fine. Yeah.
Keep that promise, huh?
You guys are bullies, man. You guys are bullies.
We're not bullies. You do it all the time.
Gotta go. Yeah, you don't call me an insider. You won't even let Danny Green call me an insider. You know, and now I can't celebrate the
game. You ain't got sources.
I have sources, dude.
Who's your source, Solana?
I can't tell you my sources, otherwise I wouldn't be an investigative journalist.
I can't tell you my sources.
But I have not with Heat Brass.
Otherwise, you know I don't have any.
Sorry, my Anthony Edwards video got traction. My bad.
My sources. I give you my sources, and guess what?
But you want to know, I'm a good friend because I don't make it out to seem like I know you know.
That's what was happening.
That is what
you kept them secret.
Yep. Yeah,
no, That's not what was happening.
We got to go, huh? That's the end of the show for today. We'll talk to you rascals tomorrow.
We need pooper scoopers.
I'm not pooping
on our night because we got a party pooper.
That's football.
Words means words.
Goodbye, loser.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit NationalDebtRelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report,